Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Out and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It's Loud and Local, the Stay Home Sessions podcast. We're up to 30-something, and right now I'm actually talking with John Mielo. Is that right? Mielo. John Mielo from a band called Dead Bars. You've probably heard I'm a Regular, played regularly on Loud and Local. They actually have a live album coming out live at White Eagle Hall in New Jersey, coming out very shortly here, September 8th. And we're going to be talking a bit about that. But first off, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing? You're in Seattle here, I'm assuming, right? What area of Seattle do you live in?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me.
Of course.
And thanks for promoting Dead Bars and stuff on your show. I live in like the Queen Anne, Belltown area. So kind of close to downtown, but not quite.
How have the last few months been for you, man? What's your like day gig? Have you been able to maintain work? Are you workless right now? What have the last few months been like for you?
Man, it's been a pretty weird couple months. So I work in a museum for my day job, and I've been there for several years, and we're not allowed to open to the public yet. I think they're easing some restrictions, so that might be changing soon. But, luckily I have been doing, work off-site while this has been going on, which has been really good. So I've, been okay during this. But it's been rough on everybody. But, we're doing the best we can.
How have you been staying sane and staying safe? What have you been filling your time with aside from, work? What stuff to keep you sane?
I've been going for walks. It's like the first time in my adult life that I've had this kind of free time to
me too.
To, get up and make breakfast and kind of ease into the day and kind of take a break and go enjoy it. Especially the summer, the spring and summer has been really good weather. But yeah, just walk around. To be honest, we haven't really been getting together as a band. We're just trying to be as safe as possible. But that's where kind of this the idea for this live album came about, where we could I was like, man, well, we're not going to be able to play a live show for a while. So it would be, really cool to have something that we can show the fans and also get that kind of live show experience, direct to your stereo. So I honestly just kind of, once I knew that we were going to be kind of locked in for a while, I started working towards figuring out a way to put that out.
So was it, the album, obviously you recorded it live at White Eagle Hall in New Jersey. And I want to get into the experience of that show, cause the lineup sounds amazing. But did you have the idea to record this for the album, or did it just happen to be recorded anyways?
No, we did not have the idea to record this for any purpose. We got asked to, go out to New Jersey last year and open for a band called the Bouncing Souls, who are one of my favorite bands. And so that was a real honor. It was their 30th anniversary.
Love the Bouncing Souls.
Yeah, and it was great. It was really, it was a really amazing experience. There was, you know, everybody was super cool. And long story short, you know, we played the show, and then we put out our album Regulars last year. We started touring a lot last year, and kind of the last bit of touring we did for the Regulars album was actually this year in February. We were in New York. We were back on the East Coast this February.
Okay.
And I saw the engineers, the sound guy, essentially from our Jersey show.
Yeah.
From the show from the White Eagle Hall show. He just happened to be at our New York show.
Okay.
And I was like, hey man, do you remember me? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. He's like, as a matter of fact, I have your whole show, you know, on my hard drive at home. And I was like, okay, I'd like to hear that. You know, that would be a good thing to check out. And that was in February. You know, we got back to Seattle, and like not even a week later, all this stuff went down with coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And I think that this guy, the engineer, also was kind of, you know, some of his stuff got canceled. And
yeah.
I think that he was like, hey, I have some time to pull up some stuff. And he just happened to send me, he's like, hey, remember we were talking about this? And he sent me the record. And I couldn't believe that I couldn't believe it sounded good. I couldn't believe that we played well.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, man, like this actually is awesome. And I asked him, you know, like if he could just do a little, you know, I mean, just do a mix, really. I was like, can you just do a little mix for this? And he did, and that's really it. I mean, we did not plan on it at all. I feel really lucky that the timing worked out, and I feel really you know, kind of, I guess lucky is the word, but that we didn't, you know, it wasn't like we didn't like hire anybody to record the show. I mean, like people that do live albums, you know, I feel like they plan it, and like, you know, you got to get the right sounds, and
totally,
it's a lot of setup, but you know, everything was kind of set up for that show to be recorded without us having anything to do with it. So yeah, I'm really happy about that. But yeah, it was totally random. I saw the guy in New York this year.
Yeah.
And then when we found out we weren't going to be playing for a while, we're like, let's just release a live album.
That's so dope, man. And the album, I mean, just looking at it, you played with Strike Anywhere. I love Strike Anywhere. And also The Explosion, a killer band. Like, this is kind of a who's who of like the melodic punk world. Being a part of that Bouncing Souls 30th anniversary kickoff party and that weekend must have been pretty huge for someone, you know, growing up in Jersey and also like probably a big fan of the band. What was that like being a part of that?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I had been kind of talking to them their people,
cool.
You know, their manager and stuff for a while, trying to set something up, just because, you know, I told them that, you know, I was a fan, but also they were aware of what we were doing and stuff. Yeah. And they knew about our first record and everything. And I was trying to set up something with them on the West Coast. You know, I was trying to see if we could play with them. Obviously, I was like, can we just play with you here in Seattle where we live?
Yeah.
But long story short, I don't know exactly how it happened, but we got an email just randomly one day that in like, I think it was January of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, hey, do you want to come out to Jersey and open for this 30th anniversary show? You know, here's the details, you know, let me know. And it was like in March, you know, so it was kind of short notice, like, you know, cause we weren't going to do a tour.
Yeah.
We were going to fly out there and just do the one show. But yeah, we made it work, and, they were super gracious, you know, like they made sure that we didn't have to bring any equipment or anything. And like, we showed up and they were the band plus their management was, you know, like, here's all your stuff, and, you know, this is what you can use, these amps, here are the drums, and, like, you know, we kind of had our own backstage area, and the band was super cool. They came out and hung out and talked with us, and we're, you know, really appreciated that we were there. And we just got, it was a sold out show. It was like their hometown.
So
show.
Cool.
It was like, it wasn't like a huge room for them. I mean, huge room for us. I think it like maybe like 800 or 1,000 people. And we were opening, so like the room wasn't full when we played. But like, I just remember like we finished our set, you know, and we were looking. I was like looking back, you know, kind of like towards the back or behind the drum set, and you know, Pete, the guitar player, and Brian were just like standing there, just like clapping. You know, that was cool because like they, you know, I mean, like they didn't have to watch us, and definitely didn't have to watch us from the stage or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, and you know, I've kept in touch a little bit. Like I went to see them here in the in Seattle, and you know, they're just, yeah, like you said, like being from Jersey, they're one of my favorite bands. I have so much respect for what they've done, and I mean 30 years, you know, being they're basically started in high school, you know, I mean, like that's so cool, like to start a band when you're teenagers with your friends and you can do it whatever 30 years later. So it was just it was a fun experience, and the fact that we got a, you know, we were able to kind of get something out of it for us was great. But also I feel like for the Dead Bars fans, I think they appreciate the story. And also, it sounds really good. Like I can't express how much I enjoy like listening to it, you know, and we didn't really do any edits, you know, it is mixed, but like, it's not like we redid any vocals. We didn't redo any guitar parts. So
that's, you know, so rad.
It was awesome.
Well, let's go into a song from it, and I think it's fitting that the song is actually called Dream Gig. I think it's kind of fitting that, you know, we're playing a song from the Bouncing Souls 30th anniversary, they're still together, their anniversary kickoff party show that you did, and it's called Dream Gig. So let's go into it, man. Let's talk a little bit more after this. And this is a song from the Dead Bars live at White Eagle Hall. You can pre-order the LP, get the digital album September 8th, and we'll be right back. It's Loud and Local.
Yeah.
That's Dream Gig live at the White Eagle Hall in New Jersey, Jersey City. The band is from Seattle, but they traveled all the way out there, 3,000 miles, to open Strike Anywhere for Explosion as part of the Bouncing Souls 30th anniversary. And fittingly, the song's called Dream Gig. So, you know what's interesting? When I saw the title of the album, Live at White Eagle Hall, I was trying to think, like, why do I know that name? And it's because I watch a lot of pro wrestling, a lot of independent pro wrestling, and that's a prominent venue in the East Coast. I've seen a lot of very f***ed up death matches at the White Eagle Hall.
Yeah, it's funny. My friend from work actually said the same thing, because he is really into, like, Defy, you know, mm-hmm. and whatever, yeah. all the wrestling stuff that's out here. And so I know a little bit about it, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Fest in Gainesville, but
totally, yeah.
They have a wrestling kind of division that they do too. So this guy from work, he follows all that, and he was just like, "Oh man, dude, you're playing at White Eagle Hall." He's like, "I've seen so many wrestling matches over there." So I have no idea about it, but that's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
It was great. I mean, it was a huge space for us for sure. And it was, you know, like gigantic ceilings, like it had a mezzanine and everything. So that was like the first time we played a room like that. And yeah, it was super fun, man. Like, I'd love to do it again, you know.
I think it's funny that you mentioned, you're like, it's a huge gig for us and a small gig for Bouncing Souls. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, to put it into perspective of how, like, popular they are, at least at this stage in the game, like last year, I went to visit my parents who live in Jersey.
Yeah.
And I was able to go see, the Bouncing Souls do a show like Stoked for Summer, which is like a festival thing that they uh-huh. do. It's like their own kind of festival. And they were headlining, and you know, I went to the show there, and you know, they had 4,000 people there.
Oh, okay.
It was,
yeah.
You know, it could have been more. Yeah. But so they, you know, to do like a smaller show of like whatever a hall, basically a big club show for them, I think, in their hometown was they wanted it to be more intimate,
special,
obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
Right on, man. So I wanted to mention, so the band is called Dead Bars. You have a song called "Where I'm a Regular." I'm sensing kind of a theme here about bars. So I was curious if you could shout out, what are your like go-to like home bars, like, you know, where everybody knows your name?
I mean, as far as like stuff that the Dead Bars fans would know, I shout out a couple like local spots in Seattle that I frequent, or the band kind of is associated with. So that would be like the Streamline Tavern in Lower Queen Anne.
Okay.
They've been awesome. We've actually, we're on the jukebox there actually.
That's great.
You go to the Streamline, play the Dead Bars on the jukebox, and the bartenders will be singing along for sure. And I like, you know, a bunch of the, like, obviously I've got to shout out the Kraken in yeah. the district. Mm-hmm. We've played there a bunch. That's awesome punk bar. But down or in Belltown, you know, second in Bell, obviously, like Shorties and Neon Boots and Screwdriver Bar, we really like. And the Victory Lounge, obviously. So those are kind of the local spots that you can see. Well, not right now, obviously, yeah. but in pre-COVID times, you might see myself or somebody associated with the band in one of those spots. And really, what it is that, you know, we're like, you know, a really social band, and we're also a really social kind of group of people. And that sounds kind of, maybe people don't really get that, but it, like the whole idea of like being at bars and like drinking and it's really about like having fun and
yeah.
Celebrating stuff with your friends. And, you know, there's definitely elements of like, you know, there can be some lonely, you know, kind of experiences in that world too. But most of the time kind of like to celebrate stuff with your friends and get together and have a good time. And that's what we try to do with the band.
Yeah. Celebrate life.
So, yeah.
Hell yeah. So, I'm curious about, even if it's embarrassing, I want to know, what was your first foray into music? What was your first CD or tape or, you know, piece of music that you actually purchased on your own, dude?
This is easy, and I'm not even trying to be, you know, have punk rock points or anything like that. But the first tape that I ever, I was a cassette tape, and the first cassette tape I ever bought was Green Day Dookie.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
And then the second tape that I bought was Cypress Hill, Black Sunday. For real, like, I mean, I had some tapes from, like, my parents and from my, you know, cousins and uncles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And those were, like, around, and that definitely was, you know, kind of in my life. But I remember I heard Basket Case by Green Day, and I was like, I have to get this. I have to get this. I don't know how to get it. You know, I was so young. I mean, I was like probably 8 years old. You know, so that shows my age there. But so I dragged my mom to the store and I got the Dookie cassette tape. And obviously, I listened to a lot of different music growing up, and you kind of find your place, but it's kind of interesting, like, that type of music shaped everything else, my whole taste, you know, like all of everything that I like about guitars and like vocals and recording styles, like, comes from like listening to that tape. So it's kind of amazing.
Hell yeah, man. That's, that's also a classic. One of my first concerts I ever saw was Green Day at the Auburn Drive-In Movie Theater. And it was also the first time I ever saw boobs in real life. So that was two huge experiences for... Wait, no. Two huge experiences. That sounds weird. I gotta...
who was opening? Like, who was on that? Like, who would have played on that tour?
It was just Green Day, right? It was Warning, their Warning album. It was live. It was MTV filmed it, and it was just Green Day.
Okay.
And
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I actually have the VHS of it, so you can watch it on YouTube. It's like live without warning in Auburn, Washington, at a drive-in movie theater. It was free. They were just handing out tickets to anyone who showed up. It's pretty nuts.
Wow. That is cool. I like that album, Warning. I know some people don't like it, but I think it's pretty cool.
So you grew up over in the East Coast, a New Jersey guy. What drew you to Seattle, and what drew you over to the Northwest?
Basically, what happened, I think, was I was in school. I was in college at the time. And in like whatever 2008, 2009, and I just graduated, and you know, there was the economic crisis.
Yes.
And things were like weird. You know, there just didn't seem like there was that much stuff going on where I was. I like, you know, I was finally out of school to kind of do whatever I wanted, and you know, I played in bands on the East Coast and stuff, and my band was kind of falling apart, and I was getting out of school. I kind of stopped seeing this girl that I was seeing, and I was like, my friend really wanted to move like really bad, and was basically like, yeah, he's like, I want to kind of do something different. And we had one friend that lived out here, and my whole thing was like, the only place I would consider going was like a music kind of city, you know, that like, you could like work a job and play in a band, and like that's all that I really cared about. I didn't really care about my girlfriend. I was really just interested in not stopping playing music, but I didn't really have a. I guess like, you know, I would like to have toured, but that was never really like, you know, I was more focused on like a place I could go get a job and also be in a band. So you know, I mean, I kind of picked five cities. I was like, okay, well, there's LA, there's New York, there's Chicago, there's Seattle. You know, I was like, I was thinking of like music cities, you know. we picked here because we had a friend that lived here, and we kind of jammed with him and stuff. And, you know, I feel like everybody in Seattle kind of has that story if they're not from here, which is like, how'd you end up coming here? It's like, you just kind of visit, and then you end up staying, you know? Like, I mean, that's how it was for me. I came here just like to kind of hang out and, you know, maybe stay for a year or something. You know, I've been here for over 10 years. So, you know, my whole adult life, really. I mean, I'm definitely, you know, from here now. And
so you're a Seattle guy now.
Obviously. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's things that I really like about the East Coast. But Seattle's such a beautiful city. The weather, I really like the weather here too.
Yeah.
And I really think, I do think that the music scene is awesome. And, you know, it is a little bit, you know, I mean, it's like any other place, but I do think we have a good scene here. So that's kind of the story. It's nothing like crazy happened. It was very kind of random, to be honest.
But now that you've been here, you know, 10 plus years, I think I'm safe to ask you this question. What are a few of your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Ooh, of all time. Well, obviously, like, the reason I picked Seattle when I was like, oh, Seattle's a music city, you know, was because of, like, you know, what happened with, like, the grunge stuff in the 90s.
Of course, yeah.
I didn't know, like, that much of the kind of underground stuff, but obviously, like, you know, like Nirvana and Mudhoney and more of the punk bands and stuff. But then as I was growing up, then there'd be bands like the Blood Brothers, you know, and Murder City Devils. And bands that, like, I was like, oh, they're from Seattle? You know, cause, like, even, I don't know, like, where I was from, it was just, like, it was very much branded as, like, you know, like a grunge, like, place, right?
Right,
and then
right.
You find out that all these kind of, yeah, then you find like, out, like, oh, Death Cab for Cutie.
They don't sound like Soundgarden.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, then you start realizing that, like, oh, it's just, like, how it is here, where there might be one genre that gets popular, but there's all sorts of other stuff going on, so... Yeah, I mean, it's really, to be honest, it's really hard to pick a couple, but, like, those are the bands that, like, kind of made me realize that Seattle had, like, more stuff going on. And then when I moved here, I kind of met a lot of friends that were into more of, like, the indie kind of rock and, like, more of, like, the metal scene. So, like, I didn't even really know about, like, the punk scene here for a couple of years. When I moved, because like the first friends I kind of like was hanging out with were more into, like, you know, the garage stuff and, like, kind of more like metal, which is not what I was into. But I was just like, hey, these people, you know, they're going to shows, so I'll just go.
Cool
and,
people, yeah.
You know, so that's you know, and then I kind of got into more punk stuff, kind of when I started this band you know, I was going to the Fun House and seeing, like, local bands, but other than the Fun House, I didn't really know where things were going on in town. Because I was pretty new. I mean, I was only here for a couple of years.
Someone should have pointed you to the Kraken.
You know, I knew about the Kraken, and, like, I'm friends with everybody there. I mean, when I was back then, it was the Galway.
Oh, yes. Galway Arms,
and one of my other bands did play there, but for some reason, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't really go there as much. Like I said, like, all my friends were in, like, I was going to, like, shows, like hipster, like, weird shows on Capitol Hill, which I felt out of place at, but it was fun. I mean, and then obviously, like, you know, I feel like we helped, you know, like, all these kind of places started closing, you know, like the Funhouse closed and a couple other spots that, like, the 2-Bit, I don't know if you remember the 2-Bit.
Oh, yeah.
Those places R. were like, I would go there all the time to those spots and, you know, everything was closing except for the Kraken, really. And then, our drummer at the time, CJ, was booking shows at, like, a bunch of smaller places, Victory Lounge, Mars Bar.
Yeah,
kind of all over Seattle, and I feel like that whole thing started right around the time that Dead Bars started. So, like, I feel like we were able to kind of find new spots to play, and then maybe even, like, you know, not created a scene, but, like, helped preserve, you know, the scene a little bit.
Bridging the gap,
people need to play. People needed places to play after, especially after, like, the Funhouse and the 2-Bit closed, and the Comet. Geez. All those places closed within, I don't know, 6 months, a year of each other, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, hope we don't see more of that. I have a feeling there's going to be, I don't know. Anyways, we can talk about that for days, I think. Unfortunately,
yeah,
there's.
I think it'll be okay. Honestly, I think everybody wants to see all these clubs succeed. So, yeah. Let's hope.
Hope. Exactly. So anyways, I'm speaking with John Maiello. Got it. From Dead Bars. They have a new LP live at White Eagle Hall. You can pre-order it now. It's coming out September 8th. And you can get the digital album. You can get the vinyl LP up for pre-order. We're going to play another song from it. This is a live recording coming up from, what is it? March 16th, 2019 in New Jersey. It's I'm a Regular here on Loud and Local.
We'll be right back.
was I'm a Regular live from White Eagle Hall, New Jersey, part of the Bouncing Souls 30th anniversary. I almost said reunion again. I don't know. I'm spacing. Anyways, Bouncing Souls, better than ever. They've done 30 years as a band, and the band I'm talking with right now, Dead Bars, got to be a part of that whole thing, and they commemorate it with Live at White Eagle Hall LP. You can pre-order it now. It's coming out September 8th. So very, very short time until you can get that record. So I suggest pre-ordering it. What's the label that's releasing that record?
Yeah, so that's kind of a fun story too. My friend, who is also from Jersey, it's a lot of Jersey stuff, but he lives in California now. Long story short, we used to be in a band together back there, and we're still friends. He's one of my oldest best friends, and I just sent him the recording that we got, and he kind of suggested that we, that I should release it, and I was like, that would be cool, but
yeah.
Releasing records, it costs money.
Right.
So he proposed that we kind of start, me and him start a vinyl short run kind of fun label to do Dead Bars stuff now and in the future, but also if we had any other projects, maybe we can release stuff through this. And so basically it was like an excuse to kind of create a vehicle for us to do stuff in the future. So he lives in down in Southern California. So the label is called Surf Ridge Records.
Cool.
It's kind of a shout out to an area in Southern California where he lives near there. So check out Surf Ridge Records. There's a website, and you can get the you can get the vinyl through deadbars.com too. But yeah, so the label is me and my friend essentially doing it together.
That's awesome. So I just got a couple more questions for you, and I'm curious. If we were to feed you beer at your bar of choice, and this is all socially distanced, I guess, or whatever. Anyway, so we feed you a bunch of beers, and you got to do a karaoke song. You have to. One song. What karaoke song are you choosing?
All right. I will choose probably Weezer, Say It Ain't So.
Okay.
That's always a fun one.
Gets emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
You hit
I
that.
Like that one. Everyone knows it. They're going to sing along.
Oh, absolutely, man. All right, so this is a personal one for you. If you got a story for it, I'd love to hear it. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar, John.
Wow. Let's see here. Scar. I guess I have a scar on my nose actually.
Okay.
From falling off of the stage one time. Actually.
Oh no.
we played this show I'm not gonna say the place, but I made a stupid decision to jump out into a crowd that was kind of a very small crowd, and I'm like 30 years old and 200 pounds, and I kind of like jumped onto this group of my friends, and I got dropped essentially after a little bit. So
oh,
I essentially kind of broke my nose, and there's a little mark here, and that's probably the most like rock and roll scar I guess I have. And I totally blacked out. I'm kind of lucky that I didn't get more hurt, because I was like, you picture someone that's like whatever 5'10" or something like that, and then like their arms up in the air, and then like holding up somebody, and then I fell like straight down on my face, and I remember I came up and I kind of like went to you know, spit out my teeth because I just assumed that like my, I just assumed that I like lost all my teeth. And then I went and I spit out and I was like, nothing happened. And I was like, oh man, I got lucky there. And I kind of get up and I grab my mic and then there's just blood. I just see blood everywhere. And right when I saw that, I kind of like looked behind me and, you know, my whole band just like stopped and grabbed me and brought me backstage and then brought me to the hospital. Essentially,
it was pretty
weird. I still have, I think the point of your question was I still have a mark on my nose from that.
Wow.
Let's get that recorded on. Let's get that show on LP.
You know, I think there's a video somewhere.
Oh man.
Of it. I don't know where it is. If I do, I will send it to you.
All right. Damn. Well, if you want to commemorate a show that went a little bit smoother than that, you can pick up the new LP. It's called Live at White Eagle Hall, New Jersey show. Obviously, you know, nobody's playing shows, but if you, you know, sit back and pretend you're there, it's almost like the real thing.
Yeah, man. I the whole point of this was, you know, to basically bring, you know, it's like, we're not going to be playing live shows for a while, but that's, you know, it's a good thing because we're all trying to be safe, you know, and responsible and come back, you know, strong.
Totally.
After this is all over. So the point is really to just like, you know, give everybody a show that, you know, can remind them of, you know, of how awesome live shows are. And
totally.
Like you said, like put a record on, like, yeah, exactly. Like kick back, like drink a beer and just, you know, put yourself into that space, because every time I listen to this record, like I feel, you know, so good about that evening, but also like touring, like, you know, I mean, we're so lucky to be able to even, you know, to be able to travel and to play shows, you know, around the country and, you know, other countries too. And yeah, we're just really lucky that we're able to do that. So, you know, it's really thanks to all the fans and everybody that's kind of like supported us through, you know, you guys and the radio and the media.
Yeah.
Everybody's been really cool. And, you know, like we try to be cool to you guys too. So I appreciate you.
Hell yeah, man. And, I appreciate the record. It's again, it's coming out, September 8th. You can pre-order it over on deadbars.com. And, yep. Yeah, we're going to go into Face the Music. Any final words for Seattle audience or anyone that's listening right now?
Deadbars.com has all the info for the live album. There's an LP, vinyl record, and a t-shirt bundle if you want to check that out. It'll be out digital everywhere September 8th, and you know, we're on Spotify but we're on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. And you know, give us a shout out, or send us an email or send us a message, and just let us know where you're at. And we want to hear from you because we want to know where we should go when we can start playing shows again. So just, you know, get in touch and keep in touch so we can all hang out soon.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. Again, it's John Maiello from the Dead Bars. Check out their new record.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.